This is the second message from the small letter of Paul to Titus, iFaith 51, which I've called Lifestyle Matters. Last time, we looked at the qualities, it's like a list of qualities for a church leader, an overseer, an elder. And I suggested that those are qualities we should all strive for. By the way, many people prefer the word qualities rather than the word qualifications, which seems like you go down a list that you're checking off to see if this guy matches up. In another way, I look at these qualities as being very Christ-like. If Jesus was a church leader, it's the kind of thing, description that would apply to him as well. And so that's why we called it a high calling. Not just for church leaders, this is for all of us as we try to follow Christ. Well, we're looking at Titus chapter 2, and we'll read the whole thing and comment on much of it. Let's start with verse 1. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Okay, that's verse 1. And if we left it right there, I think we could actually miss what Paul is trying to say. I'm often asked to speak on sound doctrine or false doctrines. What do people expect? Sound doctrine. Well, it's the truth about repentance and baptism. You know, how to become a Christian and who should you date and marry and where should you worship and so forth. False doctrine is often understood to mean why the sinner's prayer is wrong, why we don't speak in tongues today, why once saved, always saved is problematic biblically. That we tend to have our preconceptions about what sound and unsound, true and false doctrine is. Now, in a sense, doctrine is only teaching, so everything in the Bible is doctrine in a way. But I'm interested in how that word is used in Titus. Not just Titus, but 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy. Because in all the New Testament, that's where we find the strongest emphasis on doctrine. So is this the biblical meaning of sound doctrine? It's about conversion and who you marry and why the sinner's prayer is wrong? Now, I'm not saying that conversion's not important. Titus talks about baptism in chapter 3, verse 5. I'm not trying to minimize the importance of leadership. We focused on that last time. Or the importance of dealing with divisive people, Titus 3. So, lifestyle matters. It really does matter. And the alternate title for this message is Doctrine, It's Not What We Think. And if you want more on this, you'll find it in the book Joey Harris and I wrote called Informed. Okay, let's continue. Actually, I'll reread verse 1, and then we'll continue. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. Well, there's more about sound doctrine in the other chapters in these pastoral letters, the Timothy's and Titus, 13 chapters. But all we need to do, actually, to really get the heart of Titus is just focus on this chapter and ask what Paul means by doctrine. He says, teach what's appropriate to sound doctrine, and then he talks about the older men who should be taught to be temperate and worthy of respect. It's back to the character thing. Likewise, teach the older women. And what are they being taught? It's not technical theology. It's not pneumatology or ecclesiology or biblical Hebrew. They're being taught to be reverent in their lifestyle, not to drink too much, to teach what's good, not to gossip or slander. Then the older women, he says, they can teach the younger women. And again, it's about their lifestyle. It's about what they do in their daily life, not about religious activities. It's not even about particular beliefs that they hold, but it's about the way they live and the purpose is so that the gospel will be attractive, that no one will malign, that is, speak evil of the word of God. Encourage the young men to be self-controlled. Young men need that. And everything, Paul says, set them an example so that those who oppose you may be ashamed, because there will be opposition. And the way we live can credit or discredit the gospel. This is what sound doctrine is about. Again, I'm not saying it's not important to understand the crucifixion, the resurrection, the incarnation, that we shouldn't learn as much as we can about the Spirit. And if you can learn it, yeah, learn a biblical language. I mean, teaching is huge. Church history, Old Testament, New Testament. Let's learn it all. Let's do whatever we can. But the way Paul uses that phrase here and throughout the pastorals is not that way. Sound doctrine, healthy doctrine, is about our lifestyle. He even says, teach slaves so that in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. That may be something we choke on in our modern time. Certainly none of us is in favor of slavery. The Bible itself strongly condemns the slave trade. In fact, in Titus 1, you'll find a passage that speaks very clearly. But we should note that the principal purpose of the gospel is not to reform society or even to reform it. Yes, things will change as we reach souls for Christ one by one. But as important as social justice is, our mission is not to reform society. To do that, you'd have to go through politics, and it would be very dirty, and it's been tried. But rather, our mission is to model the gospel, to make it attractive. So whether we're in a tough employment situation or a difficult marriage, whether we're with people who know us and trust us or who don't at all, we will watch ourselves. We realize that what we say, what we do is so important, whether we're older women or men, younger women or men, whatever our position is. Oh, and then after that, it says, remember, for the grace of God teaches us. And then he ends, these are the things you should teach, encourage and rebuke with all authority. It's all about teaching. Now, in the NIV, that word teaching appears many times. In stricter versions, you'll see different words, actually. But the impact, the upshot is the same. We need to be able to teach. And our teaching needs to be practical. We need to help people with their lifestyle. We need to teach them the Bible, too. But we need to respect doctrine as it's taught here. Lifestyle matters. That is a key message in the pastoral epistles. 1 Timothy and Titus both seek to deflect unnecessary censure or criticism of the Christian way. There's a concern that we not discredit ourselves or the message we proclaim. And that means we need to live a certain way. And our church leaders absolutely need to model sobriety, temperance, frugality, not allowed to be fond of money or wine, faithful to their wives and so forth. You see, it's about character, because this is what makes people intrigued or convinces them, yes, I want to learn more, or it puts them off and it becomes their excuse. And way too much, way too often, it becomes the excuse. 2 Timothy is a bit different. That's more about, well, overcoming shame and opposition in the eyes of the dominant culture. And we'll see that next time. Leaders, the world is watching. New Christians, the world's watching. We are being watched. We can't say, well, mind your business. Don't look at me. My faith is, it's my personal faith. It's private. Well, it is your personal faith, but it's not private. No, sir. The world is watching. Leaders, are we more worried about technical doctrine than with the qualities of self-control, family, respect for authority, and so forth? Do we have a fear that the church may baptize fewer people or stop growing altogether if we emphasize virtue and character over evangelism? But the church grows. as people understand the good news and when our lifestyle doesn't send a conflicting message. Sound doctrine in the pastoral letters refers to lifestyle matters more than technical theology. In our next iFaith message from 2 Timothy, we have a lesson called Shame, Shame, Shame. I hope you'll watch that as well. Thank you for watching this one. God bless.